Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Hooked, the podcast where we give you all the plot hooks you could ever want. And I am Zane C. Weber, here with three people who are going to help me deliver these plot hooks to your ears. To my right,
Tom.
And then
Darcy.
And then
Chris.
And everyone's microphones are on.
Take three, everybody.
I'm sorry. I can't be trusted this late at night. Okay, so this podcast is where we take inspiration from a Magic the Gathering card and a random word, and we come up with some plot hooks for you to enjoy and possibly use in your game. So, the Magic the Gathering card that we have drawn this evening is the Glimmer Point Stag. Does anyone want to describe what this card looks like?
Glimmer Point Stag is a big old stag made of metal. He's bouncing on a soccer ball, and there's
or a turtle,
two moons betwixt its horns
or suns,
and it's surrounded by a sandstorm.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Yeah,
it's pretty accurate.
I'll take that.
It's yours.
And our random word is ideology,
which is not even slightly good.
Related to stags?
You can cut that part.
I probably won't, though. So the way we're going to present these plot hooks to you is we're each going to present a pledge, like in a magic trick. Then we will collectively come up with a turn to flesh out that pledge. And then finally, the prestige, where we will twist it around to make it something that you can use in your game. So who would like to go first?
Are we not doing the getting to know yous today?
Since you brought it up, Tom, perhaps we will, and you can ask a question. What would you like to know?
What is your go-to class?
I'm a wizard boy. I like it. I like you got all these low-level spells. I like taking things that aren't useful in combat and making everyone else at the table hate me in combat situations, but the rest of the time I'm like, ooh, what's this? It's a handful of coins. No, now it's flowers. That's
nice.
That's my playstyle.
Yep.
Prestidigitation for everything.
I'm a big barbarian player.
Yeah, I was going to be like three guesses.
I used to play a bit of rogue, but now all I play is barbarian because I like to role play with low charisma and I like to fight like a ham lord. That's pretty much the way I play D&D at this point. It's like hardcore role play, hardcore fights. Sort of like every time I'm fighting, the DM should be worried that I will die.
Good.
Because that's my approach.
Well, I will admit that I have never played the same class twice.
Ooh.
Yikes.
That's power.
Yeah, well, I've played... My first character was a paladin, then a bard, then a warlock / bard / wizard.
Triclassing. She didn't do well.
No, she wanted to know everything, and so never really
knew
like
anything.
You said, she was very useful outside of combat. Then wizard, and now a fighter.
Oh, nice.
So I think most enjoyably, probably wizard, just because you have so many options as a wizard. But I do love the role play involved in a warlock. Having that power like looming over you, I think, and you're answerable to something as well, gives the DM a lot of options to
play
throw
with.
Some story
yeah,
at
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And what about you?
I think it's like I've never played one, But every time I go to make a character now, I'm always going to make an Eldritch Knight. For some reason, I've just never played one, but like looking at my phone, there's like 7 Eldritch Knights.
You have like a folder with like Eldritch Knights ready to go.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You just want to play that gish.
I just want to
Meanwhile,
play
that I never pre-make a character. I just rock up with an empty character sheet and start writing barbarian stats on it.
I got to admit, like, it's not a good idea to pre-make characters because you kind of get to this stage months after and you're like, I don't like this character anymore. I'm going to make another one.
See, I make characters. I fall in love with them and then the DM won't let me play them.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. You're like, I make this beautiful, rich backstory and this is what I want the story to be. And then you're like, wait a minute, this has got to fit in the context of other players. Hey, and it's like, okay.
I'm specifically talking about Raspberry Mossy Pond, my turtle,
whose
rules is written 1 level in 10 classes. The most useless person ever. But he has an armor class of 20. You can't.
And has sneak attack.
Yes, and has sneak attack. Oh, he has so many cantrips.
Yep.
Has all the cantrips. But one day I'll play Raspberry Mossy Pond. Shall we get into the Glimmer Point Stag? Who would like to go first? I will go first.
Yeah. It's an elk.
What? It's an elk?
It's an elk. Oh, God.
The card is Glimmer Point Stag, so I just wanted to point that out for you. Stag is technically correct.
But it says creature elk.
Yes, correct. Yep. Good.
Okay,
okay. So
word ideology.
I've seen an elk before.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. I have seen an elk. They're huge.
They're huge.
Yeah.
I haven't.
They're quite large.
No, you should see them. They're huge.
Christ.
Very scary.
I'm so sorry. Bigger than a horse? Okay. That's another section you can cut. Hold on. So, here. Cut to now.
I'm not cutting anything. Like in all of my other podcasts, I need the audience to know what I have to go through to produce these.
Please cut that second.
Okay, go.
So this Glimmer Point Stag is a figure of mythology. The Glimmer Point Stag, it is unclear now whether it was the companion or the mount or like a transformation of the original elf king. The first high elf king has some relationship to this this stag, this mythical creature, and it is summonable by those who worship the elven gods, or at least its form is summonable. It is argued in some druidic circles that this creature is actually part of the pantheon and is an avatar of the gods. So what I'm putting forward here is just a piece of history that your players might encounter and might be a seed for an adventure
or even just to use to enrich their background.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So if the elves are having a particular problem, they might need someone to summon this, but no one knows how, so you have to go find it or something like that. So that's my pledge. I'm going to call it the crown of coming up with an elf name, just the crown of Elerion. There we go.
Yeah, nice.
So the first elf king. Okay. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next if that's
cool. Yeah, go for it.
My one for the Glimmer Point Stag is it's a deity. I want to keep like the history and everything about it kind of shrouded, but the main idea is that it appears on an eclipse, and when it does, you are granted the ability to completely remove one belief or ideal from the world.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah. So the idea is that it's and I think the I'll leave that there for my pledge, and then I'll
twist
it later. But yeah.
So just kind of a really specific wish spell.
Yeah. It's very very specific.
All right.
Nice. So I guess mine is because there's two suns or seemingly stars in the background of this image, and I've taken these two stars. I have thought of them as two very conflicting ideologies, and I think they represent gods that have very, very strong ideologies, and they kind of work like binary stars. And you know, for those who don't know what a binary star is, it's essentially two stars that forever circle one another but never truly meet ever.
Yeah.
Um, as far as science is aware. So, except I like this idea of these two stars that are constantly at war with one another, but they never fully collide in this cataclysmic event, but they're still, like, pulling strings to still fight this never-ending battle.
Awesome. Mm. Yeah, cool. And Chris?
Okay.
Oh, and I've called them Vivid and Void.
Ah, nice.
Yep.
Okay, so my pledge is going to be a complimentary pledge to Darcy's.
Okay.
I'm pledging mythical elf that appears during the solar eclipse. And what it grants is that it can bring one creature back into its existence.
One creature?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or but player or creature, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay. So we have an elf that appears and brings someone back.
Yeah.
We have the stag that appears and can remove a belief or ideology
yes.
from the world. We have Vivid twin stars
yep.
that represent gods.
Yep.
And we have the Vivid and Void and the Crown of Alarion, which is an elven myth about the first king of the elves. So, which one do we want to build on first?
Everyone's looking at me.
Zane, I really want to hear yours first, Zane. I want to build on yours first.
Well, give me some ideas because I've got this idea of like this mythology. But I don't know how the elves use it or how it could be used against them. My thought with the word ideology is that the original elf king's ideology is quite different to the elves' ideology now. And so if they do manage to summon him or his avatar or whatever, it might, again, bringing in the sandstorm, might bring around a fair bit of destruction because of how unhappy he is. But
yeah, I kind of like this... this relation between the first king and this elk, and it kind of seems to me as though he sacrificed his humanoid form to give long life to elves.
Yeah,
sort
okay.
of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of like. Well, I don't know. To me, it makes sense that it's sort of like. I've lost my train of thought there.
So it's a very different
sort of. History that he would have a perception of, as opposed to what the elves might think now, is like, oh, this god, this representation of something holy and mighty, was actually the king himself. Or,
yeah, okay.
Yeah,
there's a thing in Japan. There's a place called Nara Park, where there are deer there, and it's believed that you can't kill any of the deer there because I don't know.
Oh, these are the really tiny little baby.
Little baby deers. And the thing is, you can't kill them because there's a religious connection to them. I'm wondering if you could do something similar to that, where you have this elfin kingdom, which is, there are just elk everywhere. and to kill it, to kill one of them is sacrilege. Just as a flavor thing.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think that might be how you're introduced to this myth, and that's kind of, maybe if this myth is going to take a larger part in the story as a whole later on, where you go on to explore the history. So that's the current world that the players are in, where you go into this elven settlement and there are elk everywhere and elk are sacred in this place because of this connection to the first elf king, if this is the first elf kingdom. So I guess to bring that into a game, whether I kind of like the idea that they live in fear of this mighty horned elk that maybe when he returns, it is the coming of the end.
Yeah.
The what is it?
The apocalypse.
Yeah.
Ragnarok.
The rapture. The four horsemen are the
of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're
heralds of doom.
The heralds, the apocalypse.
Yep.
So, so I think that's the mythology, so that they live in awe and fear of the day when he returns.
Mm.
And so they please all the elks just in case.
Put in a good word
him
for
off.
Me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, as an idea, if you have your own elk and you get a personal relationship with it, the idea is that when the elk dies, it will actually put in a good word for you to the herald and say,
"Yeah, absolutely.
He was a friend. Yeah, yeah. He was a friend."
So maybe everyone has their own kind of. Well, everyone has the opportunity to please the elks. Like they'll leave
shrines.
Offerings
I like
for
the
them,
idea of shrines in the you know, amongst the woods. You place food there so they come and eat it and what have you.
Yeah, awesome. I like that idea.
Items, maybe valuable items. So as the party walks through, they see things and go, gosh, I'd really love that dagger, but it's in a shrine. And someone's like, well, I'm going to take it anyway. Next minute, you've got an elk staring at you, and you're like,
"Oh no!"
All right, I'm putting it back. I'm putting it back.
Yeah, no, I like the idea that they like protect them really well with their laws as well. It's sort of like, "Oh, I saw you kick that elk.
Yeah,
you're going into prison."
If you've like ever seen an elk, you would not kick an elk.
Yeah. We're taking your leg.
Yeah, we're taking your leg away now.
Yeah. No, I really like that idea. You pick up a dagger and you turn around. There's just six elk just standing looking. There. Looking
and I think they should be everywhere and always watching. So you're like, whether they are connected to the deity or not, they're just there. And you're like, get out of here.
And they're super comfortable with people and trust them intrinsically because they've never been hurt.
Yeah.
That's great.
And there's just so many. Cool.
All right. Well, can we go to Void, Vivid and Void? I kind of like this idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I was thinking is that there are two continents on that each one is pledged to Vivid and one is pledged to Void.
Yep.
And so you kind of are involved in the conflict between these two continents that happens. Either they meet very close somewhere or there's a massive sea voyage between them, and so they're kind of mythical to each other. But every now and then there will be a great attack from Void or Vivid. Infiltrating.
It'd be interesting to have some sort of ocean anomaly that is keeping them separate, brought on by this the
gravity of the sun,
spiraling suns. So maybe it's a great vortex. Maybe it's something along those lines.
Ocean. Yeah, actually, I like this idea of like this big massive vortex. It's very World of Warcraft in the sense that there's a big typhoon in the middle of these two continents. But
maybe if it's tidal, so it can switch so that at some point. So maybe for 10-year periods, 12-year periods, getting from Vivid to Void is the only way that you can travel.
Yeah.
So, but then after 10 or 12 years, it'll switch around, and so then Void can attack Vivid.
So it
kind of switches around, so you've got this cycle.
Land bridges or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
That's interesting.
All right, well, I think that's a decent turn.
I'm happy with that one. Yeah, cool.
Okay, well, shall we go to the magical appearance of the elf and the stag.
Okay, so mine's the lunar. I'm trying to come up with a turn for mine. I'm thinking, I was thinking maybe you've got the natural eclipses that happen, and maybe as a plot hook, you could have someone is trying to bring on an artificial eclipse. Great magic will pull something in front of the moon, and then by doing their wish, somehow it will be corrupted. I don't know. I'm trying to help me out here, guys.
See, I was thinking that if this is a known quantity and like because eclipses are predictable, the closer the eclipse gets, the more important the control of this
region
is. So you would have people trying to move in or sneak in to get this one wish. So you would have all these different ideologies coming in, hoping to be able to rid the world of their opposition.
And it would be great.
It would almost come down to like kings with their huge armies and factions coming to meet in this massive war in the middle of every eclipse.
What else is great is that if you've got this huge war that goes on, and then someone like, because it's ideologies and beliefs. So if your wish is like, I wish that none of those soldiers believe in that king or believe in their god, and then you have men that are just standing out on a battlefield that go, what am I doing here?
Just like, I wish that no one believed in war anymore.
And then the ironic bloody the consequences begin.
Of course, and that's the DM's playground.
Then chess is no longer a game. I'm wondering whether there should be a finite amount of time to these wishes, like until the next eclipse. Otherwise, this would be a universe that'd be constantly in flux. Like, can people live in that kind of world?
Well, you could always make it like a significant amount of time. So, say that there is a dark moon that you never see, and then every 250 years it'll pass across the sun, and then that's when you have the eclipse. So it's only 250 years, so it's time enough for the factual knowledge to kind of disappear, or like first hand knowledge to disappear. So it's just kind of stories, and depending on people, how much people believe it is, how certain they are to try and get to this point.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to suggest this is an idea. This may be really out there.
Yeah.
But what potentially getting rid of an ideology is a really unclean idea. Like, it's very difficult to just be like, we got rid of the idea of war.
or we got rid of people who think, like, just like erased it from their memory. What if the reality of the magic is it, if you hold it, if you say, I think that everyone that believes that, believes this, like, it follows this king, whose ideology is related to this king. I want to remove that ideology. Yeah, the stag just just poofs them out of existence. They just are gone from the world.
Like, so they never existed?
Or? Yeah, no, like, they just go, poof, the world is still there, but the ideology is completely
I kind of like the idea of taking that further into sort of like, kind of like, you know, in the world of D&D, it's like beliefs in deities, and it sort of actually just like strips back the power of a particular deity back to square one when nobody now believes in them. And then 250 years pass for them to try get their influence.
But I mean, gods their way.
So it's constantly in flux, but like the power play is.
But my question is, how do, if, like, if you delete a belief, what do people lose all their memories? If, like, if the person that believes that is left alive, well, I guess, do they lose all their memories?
Or maybe, maybe you just remove their belief and all they're left with is their doubt. So
they doubt the belief.
So because in the world of Dungeons and Dragons and where there are actual gods and actual clerics, belief is a tangible thing. You believe in this god and you worship this god.
Therefore you get power.
And so if you remove all of that give, then that god is powerless, or I guess, or you change everyone who believes that, their behavior. So you just kind of switch switch the way that people behave and act and think.
But then potentially a society that was built off a certain ideology
would
crumble. Well, wouldn't it just stay rigid anyway? Like, if your laws are all written with one ideology in mind, just because people stop, like, suddenly doubt it or don't believe it,
if those your laws society can't could be
just
changed,
should just continue.
If those laws can't be changed, because if everyone who believed that and the people who are maintaining those laws, like a king or a council or a true democracy, if everyone believes that this is no longer the way to do it, they'll change it.
Yeah. But what happens when an ideology is being, it's like the whole society is structured on one idea, but the people who administer that idea actually don't believe it?
Well, that's what the DM gets to play with.
Yeah, like it ain't an easy one. This is going to be a DM sitting down and having to have a long conversation.
This, this is why the DM doesn't give wishes out that often.
So this is why the solar eclipse elk is not is not going with ideologies, because I think in the same universe, it wouldn't. And the reason I didn't go with like an elk that can bring a certain ideology is I think that the negation factor of that would be just too much to play around.
Oh, it's a game changer slash game ender.
Yeah. So I think, but what I do think is that this elk, the solar elk, appears during the solar eclipse, and can bring any creature back into existence. But the reality is, as long as the solar eclipse is there, if you're there with a list of things you want to come back, it will just keep bringing things back. You can bring an unlimited. If you bring a list, you have 2 minutes. It will just go pop, 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 pop.
You're just going to be practicing spinning those words out.
Is it one person, or can 1,000 people rock up and get as many as they can?
If you can get 1,000 people through in 2 minutes somehow, as long as they can identify, identify it to the elk.
So it can't be
the Church of Elk Christ.
Well, I mean, it would depend. You could all just say this.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, it's a really powerful being. It could hear 1,000 things at once and be like, yep, sure. So like there'd be a pilgrimage essentially to get close enough to the elk to get an earshot. And then all these people would all at the same time shout the people they want back, and hopefully they would get the person back.
See, I think both of these ideas have to be end game. They have to be the end of the campaign, because if, like...
Well, they only happen every 250 years. So your campaign starts and it's ages
they're
away.
They're at the start, and then the whole campaign is dealing with the repercussions. Bringing these I think that we can... in the prestige.
But I think, the interesting interrelation is that potentially one person, so one event removes a certain ideology from the world. And then all the people with that ideology still miss the people they miss who are dead, go to the solar eclipse and bring those people back. And those people haven't lost their ideologies.
No, absolutely not. So then they kind of become prophets, maybe. And so I think this is our first prestige.
Yeah, that's our first prestige. It's essentially, that's the interrelation.
Yeah, so the people that come back are actually more important, and they are known as leaders, religious figures and wise people from the past who have knowledge that has been lost to the world.
Yeah,
or at least some of them could be.
Right. Yeah, well, some people will be like, you know, my neighbor Jim. Then other people will be like a philosopher who's written scrolls and scrolls.
Here's my twisty twist.
Yeah, okay.
I think that the lunar eclipse deer, his or her end goal is to destroy members of the pantheon so that it can become worshipped itself, maybe? Don't know.
Okay. Oh. So it's trying to rid the world of enough ideology that it itself rises.
They're like, the only thing that is absolutely constant is the deer.
Yeah.
These two deer, and then maybe they're...
Is it consciously doing that, or did someone create it to rid the world of gods?
Yeah, I wanted to keep a bit of mystique behind it, but I'm just...
Okay. Well, I guess we'll leave that, and we'll give the options, and the DM can do whatever.
Because
if it's beyond,
couldn't create.
No, I mean, a good potential explanation is like, you know, there is this one overarching deity in this world was the elk deity, and a bunch of other lower astral or celestial creatures or whatever actually split it in two, so that all of its power was sort of. So its power over people's over the minds of men was sent one way, and the power of its power over the bodies of men was sent the other way, and they were bound so that they could never exist at the same time ever again, because the solar and a lunar eclipse won't happen at the same time.
And running with that, I like the idea that the lunar deer, maybe once upon a time it didn't care for any lesser beings, it would just do whatever it wanted, destroy everything, and now it's bound to the wills of man.
Man has to
decide what it will destroy, but because of that, because of the ways of man.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So maybe these two lesser deities kind of sinned in some way in their fight against each other, and that is why this greater deity kind of restricted them to these eclipses. So they only have power during these eclipses.
Yeah, because it couldn't destroy their power, but it could find a way of just holding that power in a place. And it's put it in that place. And so potentially, and if there's a way that a party could rig a gameplay to make a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse at the same time, which I think is why it's great that the artwork has two suns.
Yes. And it does kind of look like a moon moving in front of one of the suns.
Oh, man.
So if you could potentially manage to line that up, you would get like the absolute shitstorm of Endgame.
Nice. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of two moons, over to the binary stars.
Once again, I'm left without a very thoughtful prestige.
We'll get there,
mate. Some more help.
Well, I think it comes when the suns meet. There's an astrological event that absolutely changes everything.
Yeah, that's it.
So the two continents like actually physically collide, and then...
Yeah, I was thinking it was something along those lines of perhaps they're not necessarily at odds, but it's kind of goes back to what you're saying is like, oh, you know, these two stags are part of one stag that they once were, and I think perhaps these two suns aren't necessarily at war with each other, and that's the plot twist, is that they're actually just trying to converge again to create these...
Like you could do lovers.
These more open ideologies
instead of... They're kind of a pair that have been forced apart by the powers of nature, and they're just trying to push back together.
And they're just trying to fight back together, except all of their subjects have just mistaken this as war and conflict.
And so the issue isn't like the core of this, it's the fiery ball of gas around them.
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is when those two cores get close enough together, the fiery gas balls are, well, essentially going to explode.
Yeah.
And all that's going to be left is a little tiny red dwarf core, which the two of them fused.
Sandstorms everywhere.
But I was just extending the analogy there. I
like that idea. And I guess thinking of when they were one sun, maybe humanity didn't exist and something else, another deity perhaps, separated them to create life. They're fighting. Maybe they're two evil essences that are just fighting to get back together to once again destroy life on this planet.
Yeah.
And just your goal is to somehow... keep them apart, keep them separate, make sure that they never meet. Yeah.
So there's like an there's an invisible force in between the two suns.
That is fading fast.
God.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Nice. Big topics.
Who we will call essence. I don't know why.
Sure. Vivid, void, and essence.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so now we're left with the elf city of stags. And elks
that you can't touch.
You're not allowed to touch.
This campaign is called "Can't Touch This,"
but you can feed them
and give them weapons that they won't use or understand.
And you pet them? Are they snuggly?
I think they're super friendly.
They, in fact,
like demand things because they're used to being made way for and fed and groomed. And
I want to roll to boop one of their noses.
I think.
Hold on. Was it D20?
I think he has to be an undermining. I rolled an 11.
Do I boop the nose?
Somehow. You boop the nose.
Yes.
Take his fingers.
If anything above a one is a boop the nose.
Oh, hell yeah.
is like maybe a group of shape changers taking advantage of this and somehow getting involved in the politics of the elves, and then maybe some sort of showdown between like an avatar maybe of the elf king, Alarion.
Well, like when you said that... It was kind of like the coming of doom, the heralds of doom. I was like, oh, maybe it's some sinister force that has gotten really, really good at like illusionary work and has essentially just started panicking all of the elves in making this image appear and promising doom and
that'd
then blowing
be great,
shit
yeah,
up.
And it's on its way.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was thinking of it like from a player perspective, like you know the movie El Dorado. You get two druids to go in and they're like turn into deers.
Yeah.
They're like, this is great. They think we're gods. Everything's going really well. And then you see, then as they're there, they see people getting their hands cut off and like thrown into ditches. They're like, we've got to stay as deers, man. He's like, I can't keep this spell up.
It only lasts an hour.
Gods don't bleed.
Yeah, exactly.
So I kind of, if we've got this this evil force kind of running through the elf kingdom, destroying them as
terror.
Yeah. And then when he arrives, like the real crown of it, of Alarion appears
and quashes him essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the conflicting.
Or maybe, I'm not sure where the players would be involved in that.
It's more, I don't know. Yeah.
I think that might be something that kind of happens later on where you've been you've experienced this city and like had fun. Booping the elk.
Booping the elk, yes.
I crit.
You now have an elk companion.
Hell yeah.
But then you kind of help them by discovering this group of people who are shape changed.
What if it is something along the lines of, like, the real elk comes to your party and hires you for help, essentially? Essentially,
yeah. I mean, to be honest, I heard that like the real elk comes to your party and brings a six pack, and it's like a real
yeah,
man.
It brings a six pack. He's a real great guy. Has a barbecue,
and so he like, doesn't say anything about religion or politics. Yeah, he's just like really good at talking about your family.
So the reason why the elk would come to you is because its subjects are completely blinded in believing and wanting to believe that it's the end times. So
that's it. And the elk is just like, actually, no, I'm here to protect them. Yeah, and like, they're looking after my elves. Like,
can you help convince them? And help convince them that I am the real, or something.
Or my time is not ready to show myself to them for the actual coming of doom, and they're all being fooled. Stop this moron. Yeah. Something along that.
You find out somehow. I like that. Yeah.
Hook.
So then you have to try.
So
and
that's what's bringing your party in, at least. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm wondering if you do a Wizard of Oz type thing where you've got the, you got to go into the sacred shrine and like, yeah, he's in there.
Oh, yeah. I am the crown of Alarion.
And the original king's been alive all the time, just as a man being like, oh, hey.
There's three goblins back here. Don't look behind the cloak.
Ignore him. All right, well, so that was the crown of Alarion. We had Vivid and Void.
And Essence.
Lunar Eclipse.
The Lunar Eclipse and the Solar Eclipse. Wonderful. So if you want to use any of those, feel free to do so. Let us know how it goes. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. If you want to find out more about this podcast or any of the other podcasts on the network, you can go to thatsnotcanon.com. And if you have any artwork that you might like us to use instead of Magic the Gathering cards, you can submit on any of the social medias or send us an email at podcast_hooked@gmail.com. I have been Zane C. Weber. Thank you very much for joining me, Tom. Thank you, Darcy.
Ooh.
Thank you, Chris. And I guess we'll be here same time next week. Until then, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Adios.
Oi, oi, oi.
James and Riley. How you going?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you, Curtis.
What's up?
Oh, mate, we're doing a promo now, right now, for our new podcast.
Well, what's it called?
It's called Unfeatured Articles. What do we do?
What do we do?
Thank you for asking, Riley. We look up every week the weirdest that Wikipedia has to offer. We dive into the comedic trenches of that website and find pure gold, baby. Pure sexy gold.
And we put it all on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcast. So please find us on Facebook, etc. Unfeatured Articles.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.